Do I Know You? By Emily Wibberly and Austin Sigmund Broca. Read for you by Dan Bittner and Brittany Presley. 1. Eliza.
Say something. I watch my husband out of the corner of my eye, imploring, wishing he would end the silence filling our car. In the window past him, the ocean glitters, unchanging. The California coastline should inspire wonder, with its rippling cliffs and its crystalline expanse, even when you've spent hours watching the water through the windshield. Instead, the thing I notice most is how it just keeps going. Say something.
Graham doesn't. He drives, his long fingers clamped on the pebbled leather of the steering wheel, his posture stiff. The quiet, interrupted only by the occasional whoosh of cars passing us, prickles over me like the start of a sunburn.
Is this how this week will be? I told myself it wouldn't.
I've told myself that pretty much every day since Graham's parents handed us an envelope over dinner containing a week-long, all-expenses-paid, romantic getaway at the Treeline Resort to celebrate our 5th wedding anniversary. I convinced myself the week would be wonderful instead of awkward or claustrophobic. What couple wouldn't want to celebrate 5 years of marriage at a 5-star hotel famous for its romantic ambience? The quiet filling our car says it knows. Determined, I fight off my discouragement.
I wish Graham would speak up, would offer something up into the silence, even comment on the weather. But he doesn't.
It's not only him not speaking, I remind myself. Screw sitting here waiting. Maybe I need to be less narrator, more main character. I clear my throat.
We're doing good on just 3 hours to go,
Graham quickly cuts in. Time, I finish, then wince, hearing the unintentional overlap of our voices. It's less like cutely finishing each other's sentences, more like two supermarket shoppers coincidentally reaching for the same shelf. Less unison, more collision. I don't blame him for cutting in, for intuiting exactly what I was going to say. Every exchange my husband and I have managed in the past 24 hours has consisted of nothing except this one meaningless subject. When we should leave, how long the drive is, whether we should take the 1 or the 5 freeway. Unable to help myself, I glance over, wondering whether Graham shares my desperation to change our conversational flat tire. He does. He shifts in his seat like someone stowed rocks in the soft leather cushion under him. I remember the way I described Graham Cutler to my friends and my parents, fresh off our first dates. He's tall, I'd said. He's got blonde hair, a cleft chin, intelligence in his eyes. The kind he could use to eviscerate rhetorical weaknesses. But he doesn't, not with me. We'd met and chatted with each other on a dating app, and when we got together in person, these observations were the first I connected to the personality I'd gotten to know on my phone. The problem is, they're what I hear now. Observations. I've been married to Graham for 5 years, and when I look over from the passenger seat, my mind does nothing except reproduce the list of identifying marks I jotted down in my head when we met. He's tall. He has blonde hair. It hasn't been this way forever. In our newlywed years, Graham turned, the way spouses should, into swirling slideshows of happy memories, never-ending excitement to catch up over dinner or share something funny one of us found online. Gradually, though, it's gotten harder to feel like I know the man seated next to me, despite knowing I love him. It happened not through fights or rifts, but through late work nights, quick conversations instead of real ones. Our starkly different careers don't help. The high-profile San Diego law firm where Graham's planning to make partner, the many audiobooks and voice acting jobs I've recorded in the past 5 years.